Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich in Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The epistle lesson for today is from Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 11 through 22. This can be found on page 1160 of your Pew Bible. Both Gentiles and Jews have been united in Christ and made one by the blood of the cross, becoming equal members of the household of God. A reading from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with the 11th verse. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were once far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
We don't have to look far in our human nature to see that we are driven to divide. Irish Catholics and Protestants, Arabs and Jews, and if you're watching the NFL playoffs later, the Chiefs and the Bills. Well, we all have certain prejudices or prejudgments of others. We divide because of color, clothes, age, workplace, accent, geography, religion, or politics. Friedrich Nietzsche said, "If an enemy did not exist, it would be necessary to invent one." We need a scapegoat, someone other that's a safe place to project whatever darkness is inside us so that we don't have to deal with it ourselves. Now, I bet everyone in this room can relate to a time when you felt like an outsider, when you were excluded. And if we're really honest, there have been times in all our journey where we have been the one doing the same to others. In our fractured world, we have different news stations which constantly bombard us with alternate worldviews, and these feed our siloed perspectives of the world. Parents and kids are living in different ecosystems. One of you recently sent me a TED Talk by Celeste Headless, and she had this to say. The world we're in today means that every conversation has the potential to evolve into an argument. People can't talk to one another, and even trivial matters can flare up with people fighting on both sides of an issue. Pew Research did a study of 10,000 American adults, and right now we are more divided than we've ever been in history. We are less willing to compromise, which means we're not willing to listen to one another. Now, where did this come from, this desire and drive to divide? Well, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and then turned on each other. A wall of hostility went up between us and God and with us and one another. And we know somehow in our own experience that this fallen reality is true. And we wonder as the world gets more polarized and the distance between us rapidly expands, is there hope? Who can unite us? Our text for today shows us that Jesus came to reconcile us to God and to each other. And together, we are growing into what he intends for the world. And that's what our current sermon series in Christ about the book of Ephesians is all about. We're discovering that our identity in Christ means that we're loved and we belong and we have a purpose in this world. Today's reading shows us that we actually not only belong to God and each other, but we do so in wonderful and mysterious ways. Once we did not belong, but we were separated and strangers. But Jesus has given us access into the family of God. And this is played out in our text for today as we look at verses 11 and 12 together. Therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, it described Gentiles as the uncircumcision. That label was a negative one, and it was condemning, and it was given by the Jews to the Gentiles. But the word circumcision was a positive label describing the faithful Jews. Now, circumcision was a sign, and it was the way to enter into the covenant between God and the people, Israel. It showed how Jews were different from the rest of the world. And the reason that the Jews kept the purity laws was because they knew that God wanted them to be set apart so that God's holy purposes could be seen and revealed to the world through them. Staying holy and pure was very important for Jews and was very hard to do when they lived close in proximity to Gentiles. That's why Jesus' Good Samaritan parable was so radical. In the story, the hero is the Gentile, the outsider, who is the one who goes generously to help the man left on the side of the road who's been beaten. It is not God's chosen people, the faithful ones, who go to the other side of the street to guard their holiness. Now, back in that verse, it talked about the flesh made by hands. And what we're going to see later in verse 14 is that this is contrasted with Jesus' flesh, who broke down the wall of hostility. And the flesh made by hands was a physical surgery, and Jesus' flesh conducted a spiritual surgery. In Galatians 5:6, Paul says what matters now. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Physical surgery doesn't matter. For Jewish Christians, this was a shocking perspective. In fact, got Paul in a lot of trouble in Jerusalem. Because what he was saying is that it's not required anymore to be circumcised to be part of the family of God. And when I think about that division, I think a little bit about the Gentiles, who most of us in this room would be part of that crowd. And what must it have been like to be them? To be told as new converts that they actually are part of God's promise and God sees them. They must have wondered, does Jesus' grace really extend to me? And now I know you and I don't argue about circumcision anymore today, but sometimes I've heard from some of you questions that I even find myself asking at times. And those are, does God really love me? And if he knows everything about me, the good, the bad, and the ugly, does he still want me as his child? And can he still use me to do something important in this world for him? And we have these questions because of the fall, but we may also have those questions because we've failed in the past, or we've been seen by others in all our messiness, and we were rejected. Thankfully, God in Jesus Christ sees us differently. Left to our own devices, we're people just like those in the Bible who are bent to exclude and to divide. Even in the church, we can put up walls to one another. Maybe we only want to relate to people who interpret the Bible exactly the way we do, or people who have more than we do, or people who have less. This brokenness is a wall that divides us. And it not only divides us, but it divides us with God. And that wall may feel like safety, but the problem with the wall is that it leaves us isolated. Jesus came to dismantle our walls, and it takes courage and faith for us to move beyond them. And we see in verses that follow that there's more to the story for God's people in Ephesus and more for us. In verse 13, it says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." This starts with two powerful words, "but now." That's saying this is happening right now. It's a new time has come, and we are all together chosen. That's great news. Once separated, we now belong in Jesus. His blood saves us and brings us a future and hope. I love that phrase, draw near, brought near. We're brought close, we're brought in, near to God. And sometimes I've heard from some of you as we are gathering on a Sunday morning in worship, you have a sense that that Holy Spirit is drawing near to you. You might have a sense of peace or freedom or joy that's happening. You are being drawn near to God. And how does Jesus bring us close to God? And we learn more of that in verses 14 through 16. "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." Jesus is the peacemaker who unites us. He breaks down our walls and challenges all our prejudices. And I need you to know that this wall that's being described here in this text is actually a real physical wall. And you're going to see a picture of it right here behind me. It was the section outside the Jerusalem temple that was separated from the temple itself, called the Court of the Gentiles. It was a 5-foot high wall with an inscription on it. And 5 feet means that some adults could actually see over the wall to the things that they're excluded from. So I'm just going to show you here. Here's your wall, and you can see some are allowed to enter, and others are outside praying. And this right here is an example of the inscription. And that inscription was there for those who were trying to come in, the foreigners. And it prohibited them from coming any further under penalty of death. Here's what the words are on the inscription. "No foreigner is to enter within the fence or the enclosure around the temple. Whoever is caught will have himself to blame for his subsequent death." So in Jesus, the physical and the spiritual walls were abolished. This was dramatic, world-altering. And some of us in this room are old enough to remember November 9th, 1989, when another wall came down, the Berlin Wall. And that event changed the world forever. A wall of division crumbled, and people from East Berlin were flooding through the gates into West Berlin. And as they came in, they were greeted by people with flowers and champagne and wild rejoicing. Families were reunited, and all hostilities were disarmed. For us, as Christ followers, our rejoicing can be even deeper. We recognize the wall came down for us with a cost. And we see in our text for today, his death killed all hostility. That word kill is also used in other places in the Bible to describe the type of death Jesus went through. His body was broken to cure our brokenness. In Jesus' crucified flesh, the law was fulfilled so that a new humanity and new creation could arise. And now there's a third type of person, no longer a Jew or a Greek, but a Christian. And together, we belong in him. Paul describes this dramatically in his words to the church at Galatia, where he said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We are one in him. And this new identity, reconciled and united with God and one another, is for a purpose. The walls have crumbled, but something new is being built, and we can read about that in verses 18 to 22. "For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Notice our identity changes from aliens and strangers to citizens and members of God's family. And this was Paul's mission to the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit is building you into a new kingdom. That word strangers can also be translated foreigners. And what was true of them was that they were separate from Christ, without hope, and they had no rights of citizenship in his kingdom. They weren't entitled to the benefits of being part of his community. Foreigners were short-term transients, while aliens settled in a country and received protection by paying a small tax, but had no rights. Now in Christ, Gentiles enjoyed all the privileges of God's people and were members of God's household, meaning all of us are grafted in to one extended family throughout the world and throughout history. You and I are adopted into God's kingdom with a new inheritance. But there's more, not only this, but we become the dwelling place of God. The building has a purpose. We are the temple, which means we are a place to worship God together. Jesus is the cornerstone. And that cornerstone was the binding stone, the capstone that holds the whole structure together. And it's even more important than the foundation. And notice all the active verbs and tense verbs here. It's happening now. The work is in progress. The building is being done. It's rising. This shows the dynamic growth of what was happening then and what's happening now. In fact, we have steel beams and walls coming together on our Stanford campus. Just like that building, we are growing as a building here. The apostles and priests, they are the leaders of the early Christian movement. They're that foundation set on Christ. And then the building is shaped and supported by him. And we are built on the cornerstone for God to dwell in us by his Spirit. Each time we baptize someone with the Holy Spirit, we give God the opportunity through the Holy Spirit to work God's will in and through us. I love today's passage. It reminds me a little bit of my time when I had a junior year abroad in college in Paris and Avignon, France. And it was a wild and wonderful experience. I was definitely a stranger in a foreign land. But while we were there, a few of us exchange students found a church that was alive. And that was it was an Assembly of God church. And growing up Presbyterian, it was really a new thing for me. But nonetheless, we got involved with this church and they embraced us with open arms. We joined their choir. They didn't treat us like foreigners or strangers. They actually treated us like family. And they were eager to share with us what they had. They were French and North African workers. And we felt so knit together in love by God's love through them. And it's my firm belief that we have the potential to find real, lasting peace, unity, and belonging in Christian community. We are the family and we belong to God. There's beauty in God's diverse body. Each of us has a task to do, and each of us belongs. We are built together to glorify God as his temple. And inside each of us, the Holy Spirit dwells, and God works through us to restore the world. To God be the glory. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.